The World Series is decided, bringing an end to probably the craziest season we've ever witnessed. Probably the craziest season anyone's ever witnessed, the shortened 2020 season, the COVID season, the pandemic season. I still don't know how in the world Major League Baseball pulled it off, but they pulled it off, and the Dodgers are the 2020 World Champions. Los Angeles Dodgers. And, I mean, it was a heck of a season. I think especially considering we didn't think we were going to have any baseball like back in March, back in April. And then the season got underway and it was like, how long is this going to last? How are the teams going to avoid COVID? Even, you know, some didn't, you know, look at the St. Louis Cardinals, the Marlins, etc. You know, they had a pretty tough go at it. Both managed to carve together, you know, a pretty decent season for them, for themselves. I think the Orioles surprised a lot of people, including myself. I wasn't really expecting a whole lot from them, but they got a lot of spunk. They're going to be a fun team to watch moving forward. I mean, they're always fun for me, but I think in general, just in the baseball world, I think, you know, more attention is going to, you know, gravitate towards that team. I think they're moving in the right direction. Pittsburgh Pirates, I don't know. They didn't look all that great. But this show isn't about slamming any teams. This show is just me talking baseball, talking about the game that I truly love. Can't get enough of. Ask anyone that knows me. I will talk your ears off of, you know, in terms of baseball all night long. And this is just my outlet to do that. You know, at least in the form of a podcast. But I love talking about baseball. I love watching it. Love everything about it. And then, yeah, and this season was, it was a lot of things great, I think. I think it was great that it was even pulled off. And then the KBO coming to the United States. ESPN still airing KBO games. I was actually a little bit depressed, like right after the World Series. Like, oh man, baseball season's, wait a minute, the KBO's on in a couple hours. I think that's awesome. And of course I start sifting through the internet, like how can I watch the Nippon League? How do I watch Japanese baseball? Yada, yada, yada. I can't get enough of this stuff, so. Needless to say, baseball as a whole isn't necessarily over. There's other leagues playing besides Major League Baseball, but the Major League Baseball season came to an end. The Dodgers are your world champions. And in that game six, got the wheels turning in my head about statistics. And today I decided I'm going to talk a little bit about, well, a lot about statistics. And I guess I'm going to get into like why they're good, why they're bad. Not necessarily the be all end all why they're good or why they're bad, because there's going to be other episodes dedicated to that. But in particular, the situation with pulling Blake Snell from the game. Presumably based on numbered matchups and history and all that good stuff, I think did a great disservice to the World Series. Statistically speaking, sure, it was a great decision. If you look at just the paper and just, you know, went only on that, I mean, yeah, sure, it was any numbers guy could argue that it was the right decision. However, baseball is played by human beings. And that's what I talk about today. So stick around on the stick. I'm your host, Jimmy Flame. We're talking baseball. We're talking the World Series. We're talking, in particular, the over-reliance on statistics on today's show. I've got a question for everyone out there today. It's a simple question. Who initiates each play? Is it the pitcher? Is it the catcher? I'll let you ponder that for a second. It's neither. It's the umpire. Think about it. The umpire begins the game by saying play ball. You can't do anything until the umpire says play ball. emphasis on play. The pitcher can't begin the windup unless the umpire is in position behind the plate. Now, why is that important to know? Well, the reason why I'm bringing it up today is because I believe there's a lot of overthinking going on out there on the baseball diamond. And I think a mental reset in understanding how each play begins, or rather not how, but who starts the first play? Can put a ball player in a way better, far more efficient mental spot on the field. If you're waiting for the pitcher to go into the windup, I think you're kind of cheating yourself. When the umpire approaches the plate and the pitcher goes into the stretch, well, if they're going into the stretch, that's the moment where the fielder's focus needs to be razor sharp on what's happening at the plate. Not after, not before, got to play loose. But as soon as that umpire enters the box, laser focus. And what does this have to do with analytics and statistics? Well, it's still a game played by humans, not by numbers. The over-reliance on analytics, I believe, is doing a great disservice to the great game of baseball. Not digressing or not recognizing the importance of knowing probabilities, but I think the reliance on these probabilities takes away good decision making. And we can get into confirmation bias, like every time a play is made within the stat, within any given stat, that's confirmation bias. It's like, see, told you so. This is what happens. And if it doesn't go the way of the stat, then it's like, oh, it's an anomaly. But there's more to it than that. And I think it could be summed up in just looking at what a stat represents. What do statistics represent? Statistics in general are unreliable without enough information. Whereas, say you're one game into the season and someone goes 3-for-3, and in game two, their stat line is they're batting 1,000. Now, if you didn't know that they went 3-for-3, or if you didn't assume that they've only played one game or had one at bat, or whatever the scenario may be, I mean, looks like a pretty darn good hitter. And as the season wanes on, it sort of evens its way out. And by the end of the season, you have a nice solid 275 hitter. 27.5% of the time, the batter was successful at earning a hit. And then there's on-base percentage. And then you can get even further into more advanced statistics. Batting average is one thing. And then we have advanced statistics, like with pitching matchups and all the wonderful decisions that managers tend to make, relying pretty much solely on statistical analysis. Now, I think you know, the numbers are great to know. Probability is great to know. But there are other factors. Again, humans play the game. Not the computers, not the people sitting behind the desks, jotting down the numbers, crunching the numbers, but the people on the field. And if you think of this in statistical measures, you have a one-on-one matchup initiated by the umpire who was rarely involved in statistics. We can get into that. Like, there are statistics for umpires, like good calls, bad calls, yada, yada. They're all graded, but that's not necessarily where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this is you have a pitcher versus a batter. And the history of this pitcher versus a particular batter or vice versa says that there are certain probabilities. The more of a set you have, the likelier the probability is going to happen. Say you have a set of 300 instances where this particular scenario happened and the outcome was this. Say the outcome was the batter reached base 29% of the time, got a base hit 22% of the time, hit a home run 10% of the time, and so on. That's a pretty good probability, or at least that's information that can lead to a pretty good probability. And when any of those things happen, you just say, well, fell within the statistic. When any of those things don't happen, you can say, well, there's an outlier. And the problem I have with that, and a problem I think most people familiar with statistics should have, that also understand that it's a human game. But the issue with that is there's a lot that these numbers do not tell you. Anyone familiar with statistics knows the law of large numbers. The larger the number, the more likely the outcome. You can test this theory with a simple dice game. You roll the dice 300 times, and 1/6 of the time, you're going to roll a 1, or a 2, or a 3. You get where I'm going with this. Within a certain reassurance, that 1/6 of the time, any one of these given numbers are going to face up. And the likelihood of that happening 1/6 of the time increases as you roll the dice more. You roll it 1,000 times, you roll it 10,000 times. But how many times do you need to roll the dice before that becomes consistent, before that happens every single time? Well, if you roll the dice once, whatever number is showing within that one set is 100% of the time. You roll the dice, it shows a 2. Well, in that particular moment, 100% of the time, you rolled a 2. Roll it 10 more times. Who knows? You might get the 2 again. You might get the 2 twice. You might hit it 4 times in a row, which is incredibly lucky, but statistically speaking. But that one time you rolled it, you hit a 2. Now, probabilities have nothing to do with like what's happening right in this second. It has to do, what is the probability of that happen? Well, the probability of rolling a 2 is 1/6. So that seems, you know, 1 in 6 chance of hitting a 2 seems kind of lucky, right? Or does it fall within the statistic? Is it confirmation bias? And that's sort of the question that a lot of statisticians struggle with. about as much as some of us struggle with the word statistician. And we reason it with the knowledge that the more times you roll it, the more likely any particular number is going to fall within this statistic. There I go again. I think the flaw in applying, you know, decision-making solely based on statistics is a lot of decisions are made thinking about that two, thinking about rolling a two on that one roll. And if it happens, you know, pat yourself on the back 100% of the time. And if you don't get it, well, then you're stuck in the same situation as, say, the Tampa Bay Rays when they pulled Snell. The entire baseball world, why did they pull Snell? Well, it was, you know, the numbers game. The numbers didn't match up. Matchups were better with someone else. And then lo and behold, just like as in baseball, well, it was a baseball game, but baseball makes you pay. Baseball has a way of making you pay. And then I opined to myself, rather I asked myself the question, would a Dusty Baker have done this in this situation? You know, he's a manager, been around for a long time. He kind of follows his gut while giving credence to stats. And, I mean, nobody knows but Dusty Baker whether he would have done it, but I have a hard time believing he would have pulled Snell in that scenario, no matter what the numbers said. A, this isn't a regular season game. This is a World Series deciding decision. All the stat lines don't have that probability. What happens when the players are hyper-focused in a World Series game and you come to the same scenario and you roll it, you roll the dice, and you don't end up with a two, right? Everyone calls that a mistake, or at least in my case, got the wheels turning, thinking about statistics again. Now, I'm not going to say the decision to pull the guy was good or bad. I mean, ultimately, it turned out great for the Dodgers and bad for the Rays. There's empirical evidence to support that. As everyone in the world knows by now, the Dodgers won the World Series. There's your empirical evidence right there. But pulling Snell has a lot of baseball purists screaming at the walls today, screaming at the walls last night. Has a lot of Dodgers fans cheering. And then a lot of statisticians sitting around saying, well, it's an outlier. Statistically, the decision was correct. The problem with that, though, is it wasn't correct for the Rays. They didn't roll a two. It's almost incredulous at that point to pull a guy that had been dealing all night long, a proven pitcher, in perhaps the biggest game of his life, perhaps the biggest game of the Rays' history. Sure, they've been there before. But this is game six of a shortened season. And I don't think any stat line could have predicted what would have happened, but it happened. I mean, if there is a stat line out there that predicts pulling Snell and bringing this other guy in results in the loss of the World Series, love to see it. Because deep in my heart, I am a numbers nerd. But baseball is a game played by humans. And yes, probabilities exist. But probabilities are misleading. Go back into just about any baseball scenario you can think of, and there's a stat line out there that supports that. There's also a stat line out there that does not support that. Think about it like that. But the point of this whole meditation, if you will, is a discussion on the over-reliance of these number lines. And all of us armchair managers can sit back all day long and say, I wouldn't have pulled Snell in that scenario. And I wouldn't have. I'd have let him deal the whole game. We can all sit back and, you know, from the ivory tower and discriminate and opine what should have happened. And at the end of the day, it's ultimately the decision of the Tampa Bay Rays that they have to live with. And they'll be back. They've got a great foundation. I don't think anyone had them pinned at the beginning of even a shortened season to make it as far as they did. But they did. The Atlanta Braves are going to be back. And I think this whole conversation I'm having definitely supports that. Or at least ignores the stats, right? They'll be back. They're a strong team. They're a fun team to watch. But I think in putting together the core of a team, right? Numbers are great. I think they're important. I like the idea. I mean, in fact, when I'm picking fantasy baseball, I cover up the part of the screen that has player numbers. I'm looking at numbers. I'm looking at ways to score, just like in a baseball game. The manager's looking at ways to score more runs than the other team, right? It's the oldest adage in baseball, probably. You know, baseball, the only important stat in baseball is the score. It's the win-loss record as well. But in any given game, the number of runs are what counts. The number of runs do not care who got a hit in what situation. The numbers do not care who was pitching in what situation. Heck, the numbers don't even care who was umpiring. Though umpiring can affect the outcome. It does affect the outcome. There's a person behind the plate calling balls and strikes. If they did a good job, it's considered a clean game. If they didn't do a very good job, then, well, some of us might sit back and say, well, it's up to the batters to adjust. I know as someone who plays baseball, I never really complain about, I mean, I might gripe and grunt behind the scenes about a particular umpire. But when I'm in the box, I'm looking for pitches. And if I know I've got a wide strike zone or a high strike zone or whatever, like I need to adjust my eyes and react accordingly. Because the runs at the end of the game don't care what my disposition is. The only thing the runs at the end of the game care about, well, they don't care about anything, they're numbers. But I think you get what I'm saying. Is how many are up there. It doesn't matter how they got up there. It doesn't matter when they got up there. The point is, after the end of the ninth inning, if one team has more runs than the other, they win the game. And the W is what matters. So, I believe baseball as a service needs more managers in the game deciding matchups with their gut not solely on their gut. You got to give credence to the numbers. You really do, because there is a value there. There's an incredible value there. But there are plenty of situations where you got to put that book away and you have to wait, you know, put the weight on, okay, so am I going to rely more on these numbers, or am I going to rely on the fact that I know this game, there's something in this hitter's eye, I see something in this pitcher that hasn't resulted in some sort of number being put on a piece of paper that favors or disfavors the situation. So if you've ever wondered like what I think of stats in general, that's pretty much it. This entire conversation has pretty much summed it up. Love it, but don't like the over-reliance in using it and employing it in the middle of games, especially important games, and ignoring that the most important stat line is the number of runs in any given game. Walking away with the W. The Stick is brought to you by ThinkSlinger Media. That's ThinkSlinger, where words collide. Visit thinkslinger.org today. This is The Stick, brought to you by House of Fire Productions. I'm your host, Jimmy Flame.